Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
I'm Elise Glink sitting in today. We are going to talk about how you build generational wealth. I talked about this a little early in the show. I believe that real estate is a great way to do it. We had a caller call in. I think it was Matt who said, no, building a business is. But Robert Johnson joins me now. He's Chief Economic Inclusion Officer and General Counsel for YWCA Metropolitan Chicago. And I know that he has some very specific ideas about generational wealth. Robert, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Elise. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
All right, so building a business, real estate, what are the best ways to build generational wealth? And before we even do that, maybe you should define what you consider generational wealth to be. What do you think about when you think about that term?
That's a great question, Elise. There's a lot of ways that you can define it, but when I think about generational wealth, I think about assets that can be passed on, again, to the next generation, something that is tangible that can be shared with the future generations, whether it be your kids or other family members. So something like a home or a business are the primary things that I think about when I think about generational wealth. Other assets too, stocks, bonds, things of that nature, but usually something tangible that you've acquired that you can pass on.
Why is it so hard to build generational wealth for some people? What is holding people back from doing that?
You know, I think particularly here in the United States, you know, one of the things that I'm focused on, particularly as it relates to generational wealth, is closing the racial wealth gap. And there are just a ton of systemic reasons that have persisted in this country that prevent people from being able to acquire generational wealth, whether that be, you know, lack of access to affordable homes in appreciating neighborhoods, lack of access to capital to start a business. So I think those are a lot of the barriers that prevent people from being able to acquire generational wealth is the barriers that unfortunately exist for so many in our society to be able to accumulate wealth.
So if we're going to start building and accumulating wealth, you know, you can either, I guess, inheriting it is a nice thing to do, or maybe winning the lottery is nice, not for maybe for one in a trillion people. But, you know, for just sort of the average person, you know, in Chicago who's listening to this, you know, the idea that you're going to accumulate more than you need, right? Because the first thing you need to do is have enough money to take care of yourself for as long as you live. And then the next thing is to figure out a way to pass that down. So if you're at the point where you've got enough for yourself or you want to build to have enough for yourself, what are some strategies that you recommend? Should people think about starting businesses? Should people, I recommend buying a house. I've been trying to build a house. I think buy a house, not build one, but, you know, buy an existing home. What are some things that you help people do? I know you've got the small business initiative at YWCA. You offer a lot of strategies and classes and things for people. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you offer, maybe one of the conferences that you have coming up.
Sure. We have our Wealth Now conference that's coming up in October, and it's really focused, again, around helping folks look at the different ways that you can create generational wealth, closing the racial wealth gap. The racial wealth gap in particular is comprised of three primary components, and you kind of articulated a couple of them. About 16 or 18% of the racial wealth gap is related to lack of access to jobs in high growth and high demand industries. Again, that's not something that's really a generational asset, but the other two are. About 32% of the wealth gap is as a result of lack of access to affordable houses and appreciating neighborhoods. And then the remaining 50% is as a result of lack of entrepreneurship, particularly in underserved communities, that access to capital. So what we're focused on at the YWCA is giving folks the tools to be able to get into a home. So we have acquired an organization called Partners in Community Building that focuses on teaching folks how to improve their credit, how to we offer pre-purchase workshops to allow folks to begin to understand the home buying process. And then, as you mentioned, in our Small Business Development Center, we take folks who may just have a germination of an idea to helping them make that idea come to life and make it flourish and help assist them getting access to capital and with business plans and pretty much soup to nuts in terms of helping them get their business started. It's all really part of what we're calling our Thrive 25 goals, where by 2025 we're trying to create 1,000 new homeowners, provide folks opportunities to create 1,000 jobs in those high growth, high demand industries, and launch or fund 1,000 businesses. So the conference really highlights some of those efforts to try to really hone in on some of the key strategies that are necessary in order to make that happen.
And I think that conference is what, October 7th or October 9th?
October 9th.
It's on a Saturday. So, Robert, when I think about generational wealth, I think about how for most Americans, well over 70%, the single most valuable asset they have is their house. And a paid-off house becomes the vast majority of the wealth that they have that they pass down. And that's been the case for the whole time, you know, the more than two decades that I've been covering real estate. And now with the, you know, increase of home prices and home values, that's become even more of a truth, right? Because as your home gets more valuable, your net worth goes up. But what are some of the other things that you're finding? If you had to pick just one or two strategies for people that you've worked with who are starting a small business, or think about, you know, when I met you for the first time a number of years ago, you said to me, well, this is just one of, like, you know, 20 things that I'm doing. How does somebody get to be doing one of 20 things?
Well, not sleeping is the first step to that, but the other probably more practical step is, I'm a big proponent of entrepreneurship, and I think everybody should have a side hustle, even if they have a full-time job. Because one of the things, again, to create generational wealth is that you got to begin to look at having multiple streams of income. And one of the fastest ways to create wealth is to create other streams of income, and particularly those passive streams of income. So having a side hustle, something that you're passionate about or good at, allows you to begin to explore other ways to generate revenue that could perhaps fund additional real estate acquisitions or help you pay off your home sooner. But it provides you just another source of revenue, because that's really what you have to begin to figure out, how to diversify your revenue streams to be able to begin to generate generational wealth, so that you do have more than just enough to live on, but you can start creating a surplus.
Yeah, it's funny. On my show This Week in Wealth, that Tom Fortino and I spend, every week we talk about what you need to do to start to create that sort of guaranteed stream of income for retirement, and how important it is to think that. And, you know, is there a way that other ways that you feel that investing in, let's say, the stock market, because, of course, you know, there's a large percentage of people, only half the people in this country actually have investments in the stock market. So that's 50% of people who don't. Are there strategies and ways that you can start to make small investments in the stock market that will pay off, you know, as time goes on?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. One of the problems that, particularly, again, in underserved communities that we have, is that we aren't as invested in equities and other securities as we could be. And now, with just, there's a plethora of platforms out there, from Robinhood to Acorns to, you name it, that have really democratized access to the stock market. You can buy fractional shares. You can buy shares based upon whatever dollar amount that you have, with no minimums and no commission. So what I tell people, it's not as daunting of a task that people think it is. You know, I'm a big proponent of the Peter Lynch strategy of buying what you know. Mm-hmm. So if you work for a company, I wouldn't necessarily say have all your money in your particular company stock. But
oh, I'm going to say definitely don't, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. So so outside of your company stock, if let's say, Coca-Cola, you'd drink Coca-Cola, familiar with the product, you kind of understand the business model. It's pretty simple. You know, that's something that you could begin to look at doing your research and see if that fits your objectives. And I also think that folks, again, should adopt a sort of Warren Buffett strategy. If it's something that you don't understand, it's too complicated, like, you know, everybody's running the crypto, you know, and blockchain. You know, if you understand that, great. But if it's something that you can't articulate your reason for doing it, or how it makes money, or how this works, then it's something I think you should avoid. And I think folks should also look at being more long-term investors. I'm not a big fan of sort of the day trading model, or, you know, the sort of the Forex model, at least not for beginners anyway. I think, again, I'm more of a value and a long-term investor. So that's what I would counsel people to do, particularly when they're getting started.
So if
getting started sooner rather than later. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, it's sooner rather than later. So if we just look at sort of your experience in your life, you know, get education. You're an attorney, and you were the first, as I think I remember you telling me, you're the first person who went to college in your family?
Yeah, first generation college, a lot of firsts.
A lot of firsts. All right, so get educated, buy real estate, look to buy real estate, and start a bunch of side hustles.
Yeah, I think the other thing I would say is, that I think is undervalued when people think about generational wealth is becoming a student of money. You know, I read a lot, and as do you, and look at what other successful people have done and try to emulate that. That's one of the great benefits of, you know, books like those that you've written, or other podcasts or other resources that are out there. There's a few, you know, I think seminal books that folks should start with when they're trying to figure out how to begin their wealth journey, like The Richest Man in Babylon, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich. There are just a few books that I think provide the framework to begin to think about wealth in a different way, so that you can begin, you know, to enter at whatever point works best for you.
Well, Robert, we have to go, but I really appreciate you coming on board. And I know that the Wealth Now conference is open to the public, and you can probably find out more at YWCAMetropolitanChicago.org. Is that right?
Absolutely. They can sign up and register now.
Oh, even better. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.